Our scripture lesson this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, and we're reading verses 10 through 15. Paul speaking says, "According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care of how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire."
Amen, dear saints. You may be seated. Because of a particularly busy week, I decided it was wise to take a one-week hiatus from our Daniel series. And Lord willing, if the Lord brings us back here next Sunday, we'll hear it then. But for now, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you that prayer is so important. To open a service, to close a service, to frame the Lord's Supper service, to pray as a church during the morning prayer time, and to pray before and after a sermon. Now that we prepare us, Lord, for this feast of Jesus, may every true heart here be built up in that holy faith in Jesus Christ. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's nothing more foundational to the Christian church life than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's just a very important statement. It's not our works, it's not our doctrine, it's not anything else. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself who is the foundation. Without a foundation, no building can stand. This church, I remember when it was being built back in 2001, 2002, this building, good foundation. It's held up really well over a long time now. We're thankful for it. If our Lord Jesus Christ had not established himself in these verses and others as the ultimate foundation for the church and the world, then we wouldn't know about it. But he does. In fact, in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, 24 and 25, he concludes that great sermon with the illustration of the rock and how he is the rock. And anyone not on the rock, the foundation, is quickly swept away. If Jesus had not established himself as the foundation, we wouldn't be here worshiping today, some 2,000 plus years after the gospel. And it dawned on me just this week that it doesn't matter how many years transpire from the time that Jesus rose from the dead, the gospel will always be effective through preaching, because that's the means by which the foolish means that God has ordained for all time to call his elect unto himself by miraculous grace. And therefore, we have this great privilege today to hear preaching. Now, let's talk about foundations in religion. The Bible is not our foundation, not ultimately. It's an extremely important gift of God. It's the special revelation of God. But it isn't the foundation, as some Christians believe. The Pope is not the foundation either. No religious leader is. Our work certainly isn't the foundation, like all unbelievers think, that works are really what matter. Only Jesus is the foundation. Now, it is true that works or deeds or ministrations are, as we'll learn from today's text, placed on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the ultimate foundation. But works themselves are not the foundation. Christ alone has that title and that honor. So in light of all this, let's make it our gospel goal this Sabbath day to love Christ, the foundation, by beautifying his church. Now, the beautifying part is the gifts and offerings we place on the foundation. Ultimately, the Romans 12:1, our own bodies, but also the Hebrews 13 principle of offering praise and thanks to God as an acceptable sacrifice to him. We'll be looking at 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 15. Jesus Christ, the foundation, the doctrine. Christ as the church's foundation deserves our best love and service. You know, there's a sense in which everybody who's ever been created in the image of God builds on the foundation. whether these are elect Christian churchmen or non-believers. In some way, everyone does. But there is no doubt that we who are the members of the faithful church definitely build on that foundation. And Paul is writing to a real congregation here in Corinth back in the 60s or 50s A.D., and those people were building on that foundation. And if you remember the Corinthian church, they had some issues. Today's text is really largely about the nature and the value of the things or offerings that we place on the foundation, who is Christ. And all of us who are regenerate in him know and believe and accept the fact that Christ as the church's foundation deserves our best love and service. Our best, not our second best, not our leftovers. The principal and the best parts of our lives must go to him. First, Paul poured the foundational cement in the churches, and Jesus sanctified it with his presence. Now, that's an intriguing truth that Paul teaches us in this lesson this morning. One of the reasons we emphasize Christ so much in preaching, teaching, and all the ministries of the church is because Paul did, and all the apostles did, and so did the prophets. All the people of God have always focused ultimately on Jesus Christ. He is the focus and the lens through which we see everything. And all of our offerings are placed on him and through him. Paul writes here that Jesus is the foundation, verse 11, and that he laid the foundation, verse 10. Now, how did he do that? He did it the same way we do, preaching, sacraments, and prayer. He went into Corinth, he preached the gospel, God called people to himself, a church was started, he laid the foundation. But the foundation is the person of Jesus himself. Paul's foundation was not ultimately words or doctrine or theology or works or deeds or passion or religious fervor. It was the person of Jesus Christ himself. That's why even in today's Lord's Supper service, we are going to emphasize that reality. That we are partaking not of something, but of someone, the person of Christ. Again, Paul did this in his preaching and in the so-called ordinary means of grace, which we value so much, prayer, preaching, and sacraments. Paul poured the foundational cement in the churches, and Jesus sanctified it with his presence. And we saints adorn, A-D-O-R-N, adorn the temple church with our ministries. Adorn is to beautify or to put something nice upon it, if you will. And what we mean by this is that everything we, the church members, actually do, especially as it touches on our covenantal privileges, obligations, and duties, is a form of a thank offering given to God, placed on the foundation. Please understand this, dears. You and I and every true Christian in Jesus Christ never, ever make an offering for sin. That is the purview of unbelievers. Unbelievers always are making offerings for sin because they're created in the image of God and they know they're guilty. And everything they do, good or bad, ultimately is to assuage their guilt and try to pacify God. But we make no offerings for sin. The only offering for sin we present is the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who was once slain for sinners. Keep that in mind. We do, however, make offerings of praise and thanks. And the aforementioned Romans 12:1, we lay our own bodies before God and offer them to him. Now, in the old temple in Jerusalem, which was summarily destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD, as we all know from our late series in the book of Revelation, the Jewish people would, according to Luke 21:5b, place noble stones and offerings on it. And the disciples would be very impressed by this. They'd go, look at these amazing stones, look at this stuff. And that's what they would do. They would put these memorials or plaques or whatnot on the foundation or the walls of the old temple. You know, we still see this in religious buildings these days. Just yesterday, we were at a presbytery meeting, old church building, Paxton, Illinois, and I'm looking at their windows and like, dedicated to so-so, dedicated. So people actually do that. Dedicate to people. Do I think that's a really great idea? Well, you probably sense that I don't think it's such a great idea. But it does happen. Now, people do that probably out of good hearts, right? And we're not judging it. But the point is that we really place thank offerings on the foundation. Every time we come to church on Sunday and offer those and then live it in the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ throughout the week, that's what we are doing. You regenerate saints do this in your church life and in your, quote, secular lives, too. Everything you do is an offering to God. Everything. No matter what we do, we're to do it to the glory of God in and through Jesus Christ. And you should view everything you do as a type of ministry, an offering to God, a sort of thank offering for what he has done for you, and giving you life and breath and the opportunity to serve him. Let's look at the text. It's pretty exciting, and marvel at how the foundation, Christ, and the believer's devotion relate to one another from verses 10 to 15 of 1 Corinthians 3. Now, today's scripture lesson reminds me of a hot frying pan with items put on it. The stress is on what we put on that foundation, but Jesus Christ and you, his church members, are more important than the offering. Keep that in mind. The offering is important. It is, and that's a big part of the text for today. But Christ the foundation and you, the children of God, are more important. And yet, out of your love, out of your service, out of your gratitude, you do offer these praises to God. Let us now then seek to better understand how the foundation, Christ, and the believer's devotion relate to one another. First, the foundation is absolute. The saints are checkered, verses 10 and 11. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Paul's arguing that the foundation is completely, absolutely secure and basic to everything. And that everybody, all the saints who build on it, are, because we're fallen creatures still carrying about in ourselves the flesh, we're checkered. In other words, we have the flesh, we have the spirit. Those two are not ever going to be reconciled. However, as we grow in our sanctification, the spirit, the Christ life, the real person of who you are in Jesus, is always gaining the ascendancy. And your offerings on that foundation are going to reflect that reality and the beauty of it. Now, despite the fact that we are far from sinless, here's a very encouraging point. We are, and may be, completely, utterly, absolutely, without question, acceptable to God because of Jesus Christ, who is our substitute, the one we are believing in, whose righteousness is imputed to us, who clothes us in that perfect righteousness. So the true saint is completely, utterly acceptable to God. And on top of that, even our ministerial deeds, our offerings, which are all tinctured in some way with and by our sin nature, which we all continue to have, can be and still are totally pleasing to God, so long as they are offered in faith in Christ out of love for God through Christ. That caveat is in play. Everything you place on that foundation is accepted to God, and he will receive it. The will for the deed. The blood of Christ cleanses away the error in our offerings, even though those offerings are made out of a pure heart, essentially, but not a perfectly pure heart. Yet, in Jesus Christ, they are received that way. Here in verse 10a, Paul's church planning effort and ministry in Corinth is said by him to have been brought about via, quote, the grace of God given to him. So everything we do, everything we have, everything we offer is a result of the grace of God given to us. Even our faith is a gift from God. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We didn't come up with it. It was given to us. Everything good we have is a gift from God, and we're just simply returning that gift into gratitude to Him out of praise and love. The subsequent verses are going to relate our offerings in themselves, and they remind us that if they are not soaked in the blood of Jesus Christ, they cannot be in any way acceptable to God. But the good news is, if they are, they are acceptable to God. And God sees them as perfectly righteous, just like He sees us that way as well. Now, in this section I just read, Paul hints that Apollos had started working on the foundation that Paul laid in Corinth. He says, I laid the foundation, someone else is working on it. Verse 6, earlier, which we didn't read today, mentions Apollos. So this good brother and fellow minister comes, and he also works on the foundation. And Paul, of course, has no problem with that. He's more than happy to have Apollos do that. And then he goes on to imply that all church believers among the Corinthians then and us too today place things on the foundation of Christ. Now let's look at that a little more. The foundation is absolute, saints are checkered. Then, sanctifying fire tests our love and sincerity, while the foundation remains pristine, verses 12 and 13. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. Now, the fire here is principally a reference to the great judgment day, the last day, the great day of the bodily resurrection and the beginning of the eternal state. That's what it's principally referencing, but it's not exclusively referring to that. There are some subordinate aspects that still apply to us, and we're going to look at that. Now, we just had Christmas time, and if you're like our family, a lot of families, we typically wrap packages and put them under the tree. Now here, if you will, in Paul's language, verses 12 and 13, the picture is of wrapped ministerial packages placed on the church's foundation. And then a fire comes, a sanctifying fire comes over it in verse 13, and it burns up all the wrapping paper, and what is left is what survives the fire. So if it's gold or silver or precious stones, that stuff survives. If it's wood or hay or stubble, that stuff gets burned up. If the faith ministerial offering wrought from a heart of sincerity and done in the name and power and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is done for the glory and the love of God, the Holy Trinity, then it survives the fire of verse 13b. It is then, get this is exciting, it's then left on the foundation as a permanent, if you will, eternal memorial of God's grace in you in this life and throughout eternity. Isn't that exciting? So when we get to heaven, we'll see those things, however that is manifest to us. It's accepted by God, and we are accepted by God only through Jesus Christ, the foundation, our Lord. Now, let's talk about two other types of fires that the Bible refers to quite often with regard to this sort of dynamic of testing. One is the fire of affliction. So if you've ever had affliction in your life, trouble, trial, tribulation, hardship, distress, concern, great difficulty, and you survive it as a faithful Christian, churchman, and don't abandon Jesus, then you have survived the fires of affliction. And we can read about those in 1 Peter 4:12. That's kind of a negative side of the affliction fire, but then there's another one that's more of the positive side, and that is the fires of love. Every heart is filled with some degree of love. We all love someone or something. And the fires of love expose who we love the most, and if Christ is first or not. And again, if Christ isn't first, then we got a major problem and we're idolaters. We need to deal with that. A good reference in this regard is Song of Solomon 8:6. When trouble comes on regenerated saints, they stay connected to Jesus, despite that problem. When trouble comes upon hypocrites, they leave Christ. Now, as mentioned a moment ago, love is also compared to a fire in the Holy Book. And the fire of love will indeed prove who we love the most. And I might reference for you, in this case, the great text of John 21, verses 15 to 17, where Peter is reinstated. The foundation is absolute, saints checkered, sanctifying fire test, love and sincerity. Finally, the foundation supports the true church while our offerings receive their appropriate evaluations, verses 14 and 15. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Interesting verses, isn't it? Really rather unique in the New Testament, and the Old for that matter. First of all, please notice with me from this text, this very point, that the foundation supports the persons who make up the redeemed church. We already argued the foundation is more important than the offerings, and the people, the redeemed people of God, are more important than the offerings too. Foundation supports us no matter what the nature of our offerings left on Christ the foundation. Now, you always have to be a little careful in this doctrine because you don't want to fall into the error of many religious people, many Christian religious people that just think, well, if you raised your hand at some point or made a prayer, you're good with God. God knows every heart. Not everybody has the same level of teaching and faithfulness, doctrine, gospel. But the reality is that anyone who is in Christ, and that is a reality, and that's a blessed truth indeed, and one that we're appreciative of. But there's even more to it than that. That having been said, our statuses, now get this, dears, this is kind of interesting. Our statuses in the church, on earth and in heaven, are largely determined by the nature and value of these thank and praise offerings that we place on the foundation of Christ in the church throughout our lives. If they're given in and through love to God, then they are pleasing to God. Now, we need to be clear here. This whole Pauline doctrine in 1 Corinthians 3 is not in any way contradicting his oft-stated gospel teaching concerning the gospel of grace in Jesus' blood, which teaches us unequivocally that works have no place at all in our justification, our redemption, or our salvation. None. We do nothing to prepare for regeneration. Works have no place at all in justification. Again, I would reference for you Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. But the apostle is informing us that works do indeed demonstrate the nature, sincerity, and fervency of our faith in Christ and our love for God. And those works in this case are offerings, thank offerings, praise offerings, placed on the foundation, especially in church, but throughout the week, as we bring our souls and bodies and praises and everything we have to the Lord. After all, words are cheap, deeds prove the reality or lack thereof. We all know that's true. Now, what does all this mean for us who claim the name of Jesus and have an honored place in his church and on the foundation? Well, there's very practically, it means this, that if we are wise, if we are thoughtful, if we even care about ourselves, let alone others, then we will willingly and entirely give ourselves to this Christ whom we worship, the foundation, wholeheartedly every Sunday and throughout the week with everything we've got. Since this is the only way we will please God. But here's another caveat. We'll never do that unless we're fed Jesus every Sunday. And that's why you're here. Gospel, preaching, sacrament. That energy will give us the drive, the desire, and the will to do this important thing for our own good and the good of everyone else. Let's do some really exciting application today and understand why the foundation is more important than the superstructure. Now, Paul's theology today from 1 Corinthians 3 deals with both the foundation and the offerings placed on him, Christ. But again, the foundation is more foundational than the offerings. The truth is, God does not need us. He doesn't need our offerings. He doesn't need our worship. He doesn't need our praise. He doesn't need us at all. God is completely, utterly, fabulously, perfectly happy in and of himself. But because he's such a gracious, loving God, he created human beings and angels, human beings created in his image. He allowed them to fall so that his greatest grace and love would be expressed in Jesus Christ and his atonement. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great privilege. Holy Trinity does this for us. He has deigned and condescended to love an elect church. He will love an elect church, and an elect church will love him. Therefore, with faith and love, let us seek to better comprehend why the foundation is more important than the superstructure. First, because any person standing on the rock, Christ, will be saved. And that is an important statement to make. The rock, the foundation, is Christ. Again, imagine the scene at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, 24 and 25. The big rock is near the ocean of sin, temptation, death, hell, the fall, and all troubles that afflict everyone on this planet. And those human persons who have their feet cemented on the rock, on the person of Jesus, are sprinkled not only with the spray of the world's sea of trouble, but also with the blood of the Lamb and the waters of his baptism in his covenant community of his church. And those souls, all of them who are in that position, are saved. All of them. Because they are cemented to the rock by virtue of their God-given faith in Christ. God gave them that faith. And those who are so, by a willing and happy volition of their sanctified wills, will desire to be closer to God through Jesus Christ. In other words, what I'm saying here, dears, is we are wise in this world to wholeheartedly give Christ, God, everything through Jesus Christ. Not only for the life to come, but for this life. Now, again, I want to say this. Will that make an easier life? Will we be easier off? Will people like you more? No, none of that's true. Reality is probably a more difficult life. But it's still a better life. It's a wonderful life. There is great, great, not only hope, but meat in this gospel for us to live in it. Some saints will be wiser than other saints. And some people will, by God's grace, let's say it, by God's grace, desire to be closer to Christ than others are. But again, all those who with a willing and happy volition of their sanctified wills will leave offerings that endure through all eternity. And frankly, others will not, to their own loss, according to Paul's words of verse 15a, where he says, they will be saved, but only as through fire. In other words, whatever they left just got burned off, or they didn't leave anything, and they feel a little bit of the tinge. Now, they aren't burned up in perdition, but that's what he says. Now, dears, here's an interesting comment from a Calvinistic pastor. But I believe it 100%. In this sovereignly allowed for way, the choice is left entirely up to us. If we want to be miserable, we can be miserable. It will only hurt us. If we want to fight God, we can fight God. We want to complain and murmur and groan, we can do it and pay the price for it. It also diminishes our sense of assurance. And if it's bad enough and there is no evidence of faith, it's evidence of perdition. But we may, in the sovereignly allowed for way, find the choice to be entirely left up to us. We may be as full and free and happy and liberated and filled with every good thing as we want to be. And we're the only people that can. No one else can. Richest person in the world, not a chance without Christ. Zero. Pauper. We're the only ones. But the challenge is in that will, that sanctified will. How much do we love even ourselves, which should be always subordinate to Jesus, who is our first love, because he's the mediator between God and man, unites us to the Father and the Holy Spirit. It's up to us, dears. I mean, this text is saying it. Some saints leave gold, silver, precious stones. Others leave wood, hay, and stubble. And on the great day, it's all going to get tested. Doesn't it say that? It says it. Why the foundation is more important than the superstructure? Because any person standing on the rock, Christ, will be saved, even though not all our religious deeds are equally pleasing to God. And that's kind of a sad but obvious fact. You know, I think when we start out our Christian lives, we're all, you know, kind of idealistic about Christianity and, oh, everybody's going to love Jesus. And then we find out, what is this? Hardly anybody loves Jesus. You know, we find out that, wow, you know, a faithful church like this, yeah, that's a blessed thing, but have fun finding them. You know, it's pretty rare. You know, the gold and the silver and the precious stones, they don't just show up everywhere because they're precious. Well, let's ask this important question. What's acceptable to God and what isn't? Every deed essentially of a ministerial nature that is done out of a heart and mind of faith and love for God through Jesus Christ is fully and completely acceptable to him. Isn't that good? Like that? We should. Every deed done out of genuine faith and love is fully accepted. Anything done, even in the passion of religion, in the fervency of conviction, not out of faith and love for Jesus Christ, is not acceptable to God. And we already argued that all the people in the world outside of Christ are every moment of their lives trying to come up with a new sin offering to offer to God to get off the guilt hook. And rightly so. They should be. But they won't find it because the only place that it will be found is at the cross and resurrection of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb shed for sinners, the glorious one. Shall we close with another Pauline text, already referred to several times? Romans 12:1. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do that. We started here. We keep doing it through the rest of our lives. Beloved, Jesus Christ, the foundation, is also Jesus Christ, our only righteousness. God has no redemptive interest in anyone or anything not connected to Jesus Christ, the foundation. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for that. But you provided us a great, perfect life in Christ. Full of trouble, trials, tribulations, tests, but that's okay. Because we have Jesus. Bless us now as we take of the supper here soon, Lord willing. Enjoy you in every possible way in this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.